It's now time for the MLB.com Cut Forecast. Cut Forecast. The Cut Forecast. It's a cast from Cut 4. Here it is.
Hello and welcome to the Cut Forecast. I'm Dakota Gardner. I'm joined as always by Gemma Kaneko.
What's up?
And we have with us this week, all the way from Los Angeles, from the beautiful sunny California, Michael Clare.
The California.
The California.
Yes.
Well, hey guys, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I made a terrible error. I took a sip during of a delicious seltzer water during that intro, and it really gave a tickle to the throat, so I can barely breathe at the moment.
Okay. Well, this is your last time on the Cut Forecast. So if anybody follows Michael Clare on social media, they'll know that he is obsessed with sparkling water now, that is a newfound obsession for him. So congrats to him on that. If you notice, my voice is a little bit hoarse. I'm not ill. I'm not, I didn't burn myself on a hot cup of coffee or anything like that. I shouted myself hoarse at the New York Red Bulls NYCFC match this weekend.
You guys are so embarrassing.
I just need to mention that up here at the top.
I sound normal because of my regular healthy adult life that I lead.
Yeah, I know. We all wish we were as normal as you, Gemma, but we can't all be, unfortunately. But let's jump right in to the podcast. Over the weekend, Ken Griffey Jr. and Mike Piazza inducted into the National Baseball Hall of Fame. I am super thrilled as fans of both of their work. I'm sure you guys are super excited about it. Do you have is one of them in particular your favorite, Gemma?
I mean,
it's okay to say it.
I feel like it's hard to say anything other than Junior, right?
Yeah,
because
right.
He was everything when we were growing up.
Yeah.
You know, he was everywhere.
Claire, I know what you're gonna say, but I'm gonna give you the opportunity now to say it. Who of the two is your favorite new class of 2016 Hall of Famer?
I mean, it's Ken Griffey Jr. That, like, the reason I like baseball now is largely Ken Griffey Jr. because that's who got me into baseball then. I remember my first opening day that I got to watch on TV that I was, like, consciously aware of, I was 7 years old. Dodgers were playing Marlins that night, and me and my mom sat on the floor and organized a little baggie of Ken Griffey Jr. cards for hours. Like, first it was, like, in order of the pictures we liked the most. Then we, like, ordered them by, like, the card number on the back. Then we ordered them on, like, the year they came out. Ken Griffey Jr. is everything to me. And yesterday was, like, this very emotional moment for two reasons. One, like, oh, my God, I'm seeing my favorite player ever inducted into the Hall of Fame. And second was, oh, my God, I'm so old. My favorite childhood player is getting inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we all had to confront our mortality this weekend.
Yeah. I mean, as you know, my favorite childhood player is still playing baseball.
That's
so
true.
I can still
he is.
That I am a child.
Ichiro.
Yes.
He's well on his way. So, he'll definitely be in the Hall of Fame, too, so that'll be fun.
I'll cry for
you'll
a week.
Die, yeah. You'll just
with
be
happiness, inconsolable. Honestly, but also.
How are you right now with the Chaser 3000?
I am so stressed out that it didn't happen on the East Coast. Like, I would have driven to Philly, because he was only, like, 5 hits away. I was like, I'll go, but he wasn't in the lineup. And Philly's not that far away, so I could have just gone there on short notice after work. I honestly would have done it.
That's true, and you're the only New Yorker with a car.
It's true, but I'm really excited.
So let me ask you this, though. I mention all of this to mention this. Griffey, at his induction, was wearing this sweet suit that instead of pinstripes had the text Class of 2016 Hall of Fame written on it. It was super cool. Go to MLB.com/cut4. You can see the photos. It's really, really awesome. And my question to you guys is, if you were inducted into the Hall of Fame, what would you wear to your induction ceremony? Claire, why don't we start with you?
All right, I'm going. So, assuming I'm getting inducted to the Hall of Fame, it means I am in much better physical condition than I am now, which is what informs this decision.
Okay.
But I'm going cut-off sleeves to show, like, my sweet guns, and I'm going to have a huge, like, Hall of Fame induction class of whatever year logo on my biceps that I'll have, like, gotten the night before. So I'll have that, and then I'll just have, like, the tightest, tiniest, like, denim short. Because, again, this is, like, my day. I am an athlete who looks awesome. So that's the way I'm going.
Okay. Weird, but okay.
Some choices were made.
Yeah, they were strong fashion sartorial choices.
Yeah.
Gemma, what would you wear to your ceremony?
Do you remember how the Met Gala this year was technology themed?
I do.
And there was, to me, a dearth of actual wearable technology.
There was like none.
I would like, do you remember, okay, now also, remember when Mike Trout had those shoes, those cleats that had his like stats
yes.
on them? I would want that for my Hall of Fame induction okay. outfit, but the whole outfit would have that information, like flashing in real time. That you
like on
see.
LED?
Yeah. Okay. Or like projecting. So probably I would want to wear like some kind of paneled outfit. I don't know. There'd have to be like a, it would either have to be like a suit jacket with like, that you can see it on the back, or it'd have to be a big dress with a long full skirt.
Okay.
And then there would be screens that would present that information and like highlights of me being awesome.
Wow. Yeah. That, you got a lot going on there. Yeah. I like that. Yeah. That's a good idea. mine, considering this would be, I personally, so if I were inducted into the Hall of Fame, I would want everybody to take it as seriously as I do. And thus it would be a black tie affair. Uh-huh. You're only allowed to come to the ceremony if you're in full just luxurious regalia. So I would be wearing a tuxedo, obviously.
And obviously. Then, he's wearing a tuxedo right now.
I am, actually,
not,
right now.
You know, we're
just
not
for the job you want,
week,
not
so
the job you have.
In
so.
Honor of that, yeah. Dakota decided to wear a tux.
But I would wear the tuxedo and the tie. It would be whatever team I'm going to have on my hat.
Uh-huh.
I would have that, like, just like a tacky, like, obnoxious team tie. And with my tuxedo, that would be what I would wear. And I would demand
would
everyone who
bow
shows
tie?
Up. Could be a bow tie. I
You're
do like bow ties.
You're gonna wear a regular tie with the tux?
Yeah, people do that. People wear like the black tie with the tux. It happens.
I'm just finding this a little bit questionable.
I mean, I'm not gonna have tails.
No, it's the new cool thing. If you don't want to like be in a cummerbund, with
yeah.
the, like, it looks cool. It there's a way to do it, and like the way it's cut, but it's very cool. Jim.
Claire gets it. Claire understands. You could do the vest with it too. You want to go?
You go
the
vest?
You could do that. I haven't decided, but
okay.
I could. We'll see. I have time. I have plenty of time. Mm-hmm. I have 5 years till I'm inducted after my retirement. All right, let's move on here to our first topic. Now, Claire, you obviously you're in California, you live in California, but you went on a road trip to Sonoma to watch the
yes.
Sonoma Stompers play. And what is it that's notable about the Sonoma Stompers, Gemma?
Oh, you're asking me
I'm
that,
asking
Claire.
You that question.
Oh, well, they recently made history by signing three now professional female baseball players.
And we sent Michael Claire to go watch them play. How did that go?
It was amazing in every way. Beyond just the town and beyond this beautiful gem of a ballpark, everyone at the team was so friendly. Like, honestly, I felt like I was in a Roger Angel dream of baseball, where
yeah.
you're in this perfect town, in this perfect ballpark, where everyone's super friendly. I got a chance to talk with Stacey and Kelsey. Unfortunately, I was there the day before Anna Kimbrell, their third female player they signed.
No relation.
With the team. Yeah, there's two L's in that Kimbrell. She's a catcher with the U.S. Women's National Team. I got to talk to Kelsey Whitmore's dad, who was there, and just see how proud he was, because this was the day after Kelsey picked up her first hit. I talked to Joel Carranza, who is the hitting coach and is basically like the mentor to these two players, and like, you know, make sure like that they're fitting into the clubhouse.
Well, so let me slow you down here for a sec, because I want to hear the whole thing, because I'm yeah. fascinated by all of this. So the Sonoma Stompers, they're an independent team, is that right?
Yeah, independent team.
Okay, and they're in Sonoma. So can you describe, because I'm one of these Northeastern elitists, so can you describe Sonoma to me? Like, what does it look like? It's wine country, right?
Yeah, so it's up near Napa. It's about, I'd say, an hour outside of San Francisco. It is gorgeous. So I was driving in. I told everyone I met there that I'm moving to Sonoma. As I'm driving in, I'm passing vineyards offering wine tastings. I'm passing vineyards offering olive oil tastings. I'm passing chocolatiers offering chocolate tastings. You then, as you get to the park, you drive through perhaps the quaintest city square I've ever seen. It's a beautiful little park in the middle. That, like, even the sports bar there looks like a quaint sports bar. it felt like the dream from, like, the zoning commission in the 1950s. And then less than a half mile from that city square, so a walkable distance if you're just like in the town,
mm-hmm.
is this little park. And in center field, there are flowering vines growing over the center field fence that's 435 feet away, and directly beyond the fence, the mountains rise up. So it is honestly this gem of a place. Like, as soon as I parked my car and got out, I was like, okay, I got to get out of L.A. because this is heaven right here.
It sounds incredible to see baseball played like that. And, you know, I guess it's funny that, like, history is being made there, right? That it's sort of in this, like, idyllic, beautiful setting. Do people appreciate that? Like, is it local fans mostly? Is it sort of carpetbaggers like you? Who comes to these games, and how many people, are they passionately supporting the team? Are they there to watch these women play? What's going on?
So that's what's really cool. I love sports, is this idea of community, this communal space, everyone comes together, this shared rooting interest, and this team really is the community, you know, a half mile away. I was at a Thursday night game, so, you know, 6 o'clock, probably lots of people, if they had to, like, work in the Bay, obviously wouldn't even be there, but I would say there are about 250 or so people there that night. I think over the weekend they get some more, but it was, everyone was cheering, everyone was supportive. The local fans, I think, have really gotten behind Kelsey and Stacey and Anna now that she's signed. This is a team that, beyond, it's not just the women making history. Last year, they gave control of the team to Ben Lindbergh and Sam Miller, two baseball writers who use sabermetric principles to sign players. One of those players turned out to be gay. That's Sean Conroy. And on Pride Night, and again, he wasn't signed because he was gay. They signed him and later on found out he was openly gay. On Pride Night, that was that coincided with San Francisco's Pride Night, they celebrated him. He started the game, and all of his teammates wore rainbow socks and rainbow armbands. So, like, in every way, this team is doing things totally differently, and the fan base is responding to that.
That's awesome. I mean, it's, I will say that, you know, to have women players, to have an openly gay player, truly the most cutting-edge, subversive move is to hire bloggers to run the team. I'm glad that happened. But seriously, though, I mean, that is amazing. Like, it's so cool that they're doing it, and it's awesome that they're in this beautiful place. And these are real players, too. It's not like they just sort of did this as a publicity stunt, right?
Exactly. So they've been with the team for a month. You know, in other times there have been publicity stunts where women have played for a night or a weekend and to sell tickets. The thing is, when Kelsey Whitmore got her first hit on Wednesday night, they were on the road. And this is not a league where you don't earn any money from away fans. You know, there's not a split of the gate. So she is. These women are just members of the team. And Joel Carranza made it very clear that, you know, the whole phrase with the team is, if you can play, you can play. And Joel Carranza said, everyone's in support of these women. These are fantastic athletes. Stacey picked up her first hit. The night I was there, they didn't know if any of the women were going to play because Kelsey was pitching. She was starting the game the next day when Anna was there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, was Stacey going to come out of the bullpen? She came out of the bullpen. They're playing arguably the best team with the most money in the league, the San Rafael Pacific. And Stacey pitched 2 shutout innings. No, you know, and they had given up 7 runs. So the other pitchers were not doing a great job, and Stacey pitched 2 shutout innings. So it's a really fantastic atmosphere to be there as a fan. And then the fact that there's history happening on top of it, it's really phenomenal.
Where do you think this movement is going? I mean, you talked to the players, you interviewed them. You can go and watch and see and read the interviews on MLB.com/cut4, right there on the homepage. Do they have a sense that, like, there's momentum growing for women in baseball? Do you have that sense in talking to them and in watching?
So the sense of momentum, I think, is there from the support for the team. When it happened, and this the way it came about was that Francis Ford Coppola, the director, had a meeting with the GM and was like, I want to see women in baseball. Is this something we can do? And he was like, yeah, this is going to be tough. Let's figure it out. Let's see if we can make this work. So this is year one of a 3-year plan. The problem is, right now, there really isn't the infrastructure in place for women's baseball. You know, there's a small handful of players that play in high school, but they might not get playing time. You know, you're basically suggested, like, why don't you go be your best softball player, not one of the guys, you know, not play on the baseball team. And then once you get to college, you know, Kelsey Whitmore, she's going to college to play softball right now. She's going to get to train with the baseball team, but she's going on a softball scholarship, and she's never really played before. She's played in one tournament that was basically, you know, to show, like, yeah, I can play softball too. So I think that the next part of this movement is, as the Stompers continue to sign women and we see how women do, I'm hoping that this September the Women's World Cup is happening in South Korea. I don't think most people, I know I wasn't aware that this was going on before this, so I'm hoping this will become a larger deal the way the Women's World Cup has become a big deal. And then I think we
need
to
have... And this is baseball, right? It's not softball?
Yeah, this is a baseball tournament. The U.S. Women's National Team is playing a baseball tournament. They got gold at the Pan Am Games last year, I believe. And so I'm hoping what we're going to see in the future is more of a grassroots, more women playing. You know, they see these women, they see Kelsey, they see Stacey, they see Anna. More women play Little League, more women play high school. And then that leads to the further growth of the game from the ground up. Because these guys basically play baseball a couple months a year when the women's national team gets together, and then they either have to go back to softball, they go back to their lives, and they play on like a men's league team that, you know, plays Saturday afternoon in your local park. So there isn't the leagues and structure to produce phenomenal female baseball players, and I'm hoping that's what happens from them.
Yeah, well, we're certainly going to keep an eye on it.
Yeah, that's pretty exciting. Yeah. Claire, what sense did you get from just talking to the women? Like, how you felt? How did they feel about what was going on? What did they consider? What was interviewing them like as players? Did they like feel that they have this special place in history? Was it just another game? Like, how did it feel for them?
So, for Stacey, I think she tries to, you know, she knows she's got a place in history, and she knows she has a very important role. I think she was trying to downplay that and just sort of focus on, I'm playing these games, I want to do the best I can. Kelsey, who just turned 18, like I think 3 weeks ago, maybe less, she's definitely really aware of that. She told me that, you know, growing up, she didn't have a female baseball player to look up to, and that she wants to be that for the next generation of girls. And they said after the game, and both said this, after the game, families are always coming up to them. Little girls are coming up to them. But also little boys are coming up to them because they don't know that women don't play baseball. You know, if you're a young boy, 5, 6 years old, this is just a professional baseball player. This isn't a female baseball player. This is a baseball player, and that's it. And that's a huge deal. Can you, like, just the formative experience of that is so important. Mm-hmm.
That is a huge deal.
Cool.
So they definitely know their role, and Stacey, I think the hope, I'm sorry, Kelsey, I think the hope is that she'll be able to return next year because thanks to her school schedule, she'll have summers off when she can come back to the Stompers and play.
Got it, the summers off.
Yeah.
That's how history is made in your free time. Unbelievable. Well, thanks for going up there, Claire, and we're definitely going to keep track of that. It's definitely an incredible story, but let's move on here. To another bit of history, the Kansas City Royals visited some place in Washington, D.C. The address was 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
What is there?
I don't know what's there.
Is that the spy museum?
Yeah, I think it's the spy museum. That's what it was. But while they were there, they ran into this guy named Barack Obama, and they were talking, and he made fun of their nicknames, and he said nicknames like Haas are not actually that interesting for Eric Hosmer. I don't know who that guy was. I don't know why he felt the need to share his opinion on baseball nicknames. I don't know. I don't know, even know why we know about all of this, like some random guy talking about baseball nicknames. But nevertheless, we thought that we'd maybe heed that point. We'd hear what he said and respond to it here on the podcast by giving some baseball players nicknames that belonged to famous presidents.
I like this game.
That seems like fun,
yeah,
right?
It does.
So, for example, you know, Abraham Lincoln was Honest Abe. So I don't know if there was a baseball player who that would fit. Honest, I don't know. Mike, because Mike Trout is
honest Mike
player. So maybe something like that.
That's
I don't know, but that's the sense of the game,
that's
right?
Cute.
That we're gonna play here.
Yeah.
So Gemma, since you're the resident Cut Four American historian, why don't you give
That's
us...
That's a great title. I'm so
welcome. Why don't you give us your baseball player who deserves a presidential nickname?
Well, there are quite a few, I think. There are quite a few really good presidential nicknames that also lend themselves to being baseball nicknames.
Okay.
Specifically, Martin Van Buren was known as the Little Magician.
Okay.
For his... crafty, shall we say, policy and staffing decisions that he made.
Why would you call them crafty?
Well, they weren't. It was in a time where patronage was much more accepted and part of the political system. But he was called a little magician mostly because he seemed to like work all these wonders.
Yeah.
For his own party. But the little magician, I think, is actually just the magician or wizard has been a baseball nickname as well.
Yeah, it has.
Quite many times. So why not use little magician for someone like Jose Altuve?
Oh, I like it.
Magic on the base path, magic at the plate. He's a little magician.
Magic at the base paths, magic at the plate.
Another nickname that Martin Van Buren was known by was the Careful Dutchman, because he actually, his first language was not English, it was Dutch.
Mm-hmm.
Grew up in a New York Dutch, upstate New York Dutch community.
I think I see where this is going.
Didi Gregorius, actual Dutchman.
Perfect.
The Careful Dutchman. Why not? I think it's kind of adorable. Got two more.
Oh, no, please. This is your time to shine.
So once upon a time, the word dude was actually used to describe someone who, like, to be duded up or duded out would just be really fancy, to be really stylish.
Okay.
So Chester Arthur, who became president after James Garfield's assassination, he was sometimes known as the dude president.
Okay.
She might as well just transfer over as to the Duda president.
Oh, I like it.
All right.
His nickname's already the dude, too.
Yeah, there
so
you go.
Flows.
Perfect. He would just probably need to amp up his style game a little bit.
Yeah, probably a little
bit. You know,
bit.
I've seen that Instagram. Just dress up a little bit, Lucas.
Yeah.
And finally, President Woodrow Wilson, mm-hmm. very well known for his intellectualism, his careful planning, et cetera. He was sometimes known as the phrase maker for the way that he would speak in speeches that he would give. So I have decided that if anyone in MLB deserves that nickname, it is Jared Dyson of the Kansas City Royals, who coined the phrase, "That's what speed do," which was quoted by our current president, Barack Obama,
oh,
when
he's
receiving
the, president. Oh.
The Royals.
I knew that name was familiar.
So I feel like if the phrase is so popular, it was quoted by our current president, why not give him the nickname the phrase maker.
The phrase maker. That's that is a sweet name. I'm all in on that. And
those are my nicknames like for baseball players based on presidents.
I like it. Yes. Thank you, Doris Kearns Kaneko.
Yes. Oh, great nickname for me.
Claire, what do you got for us? What presidential nicknames would you like to give to a baseball player?
All right. So this is simple. We've got the American Cincinnatus. That's obviously for Joey Votto because amazing eyebrows, and I believe he's Canadian, so I think he's got this sort of, like, ironic twist.
You should just call him the Canadian Cincinnatus, and that was George Washington's nickname.
George Washington? Is that who that was?
Another George Washington. Colossus of Independence. Obviously, that's David Ortiz. He's a Colossus of Independence. And then finally, I don't remember whose this is, so Jim, I'm hoping you remember. The Schoolmaster, Cole Figueroa, loves advanced stats. When he was with the Pirates, he went to this cafe that, like, you can pay for, like, a coffee for someone, and then you put on this little board, like, a slip of paper, like, take a free coffee. And on his, he said, if you love war and the Pirates, enjoy a coffee on me. Schoolmaster Cole Figueroa.
Also a nickname of Woodrow Wilson's because he was, in fact, a professor. For a time.
Of course he was. Well, that was insane. Here are mine. The first one I thought of, Rich Hill, pitcher for the Athletics. You know, he gets a lot of strikeouts. He's a pitcher. Deception is part of the game when you're a pitcher. We all thought he might not be good anymore because he was getting hurt, but it turns out he is really good still. What a bigger sort of surprise. You could call him Tricky Dick because his name is Rich Hill. That was the first one I thought of.
I like that.
The second one I thought of. Thank you. The second one I thought of is the sort of wizened old sage of the Chicago Cubs, David Ross. He's beloved. Uncle Rossi is his nickname. It's a decent nickname, but I think we could do better. And I am turning to President Zachary Taylor, the 12th president of the United States.
Where could this... Oh, okay. Gotcha.
His nickname is going to be Old Rough and Ready, because he is old. He is rough, but he is also ready at any moment to step in and be the Cubs
catcher. Old Rough and Ready should just have been a baseball nickname forever. I don't really know why it hasn't been.
It really should have been, and yeah. I can't think of anybody who it fits better than David Ross.
Stay away from cherries and milk on hot days, David Ross. That's a history joke. Enjoy it, five history people who listen to this podcast.
There you go. Yeah, all five people will enjoy that joke. Let's now flip the script here. And there are some really great baseball nicknames. Uh-huh. As our current president may not be aware of them, but they do exist. And what if we gave some of those excellent baseball nicknames to some of the presidents? So sticking with Abraham Lincoln, what if Abraham Lincoln was the big unit? Because he was super tall and chill, just
probably
like...
Probably would have been a great pitcher.
Probably would have been a great pitcher.
Chill. Those are the things I think of. It's almost like... If an alien came to Earth and was like, tell me about Abraham Lincoln, I'd be like, all right, only two things you need to know. Super tall, super chill.
He was.
Probably
he liked the theater.
Great in teal.
Yeah, would have looked great in teal, like Randy Johnson. So, what president do you think deserves a baseball nickname? Claire, let's start with you.
All right, so Flying Hawaiian is Obama.
Great.
Oh, that's good.
That's
I like
really good.
That. I really like that.
Yeah. And then the others, I ended up going deep down the nickname web. So Tech is George W., but really I just wanted to share the story of how Ted Lyons was nicknamed Tech. A sports writer was late filing a story and didn't know Ted Lyons' first name, so he just made up Tech. and then Tacky Tom, so Tom Jefferson, Thomas Jefferson, for his second term of president, you know, it wasn't so great. But that was for Thomas Parrott, who took great pleasure in playing his cornet late at night and bothering all of his, like, apartment mates.
Okay.
I like
so,
these.
So those are the really important ones.
Fair enough. Yeah. All right. Shout out to you, Claire.
Baseball nickname stories. I'm all about that.
Yeah, no, yeah. They're all great. Gemma, what do you got? What presidents do you think get baseball nicknames?
Well, I thought there were some that were pretty easy, like Jimmy Carter, the Georgia Peach.
Oh, that's right? Good. That's really good.
A little bit nicer than the Peanut Farmer as yeah. well. Thought that was pretty great. Obviously, you know, I would give our current president the nickname Mr. November.
I literally wrote that down myself. Yes. I have that on here too.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I think that's a good
yep.
one.
Into that. I think, you know, so many of these lend themselves to presidents as well. You know, people called Babe Ruth the Colossus of Clout.
Mm-hmm.
Why not call William Taft the Colossus of Capitol Hill?
I like that.
Big guy.
That's good.
Spent a long time.
You know,
later became a Supreme Court Justice. Could be the Colossus of the Court.
Well, see, I like that yeah. he became a Supreme Court Justice. Yeah. Nobody ever talks about that. The only thing anybody ever talks about with William Howard Taft is that he was large and got stuck in a bathtub.
Well, there are a lot of weird things about Taft.
I would hope if I were the president one day that my legacy would be something beyond just being large. That it makes me
he
sad.
He also has a racing president, so
yeah, he is a racing president. Yeah, but
My final and easiest, I think, okay. most fun nickname is for Theodore Roosevelt, who, as you know, enjoyed hunting quite a bit. So why not call him Teddy Big Game?
Oh, I like that. That's a that's a good one. I like that one. So mine, the first one I thought of here, Bob Ferguson, who is a sort of defense first player, did kind of everything in the 1800s. He got the nickname Death to Flying Things because he was such a great defensive player. And I felt like since Ronald Reagan suggested Star Wars.
Okay.
Which was the missile defense system
yes,
in the United States.
He did not suggest
not
the film
franchise not the film
Star
franchise
Wars.
Star Wars. The missile defense system proposed in the 1980s. That would be a great nickname for him, Death to Flying Things.
Okay.
Second thing I thought of, when we all think of Theodore Roosevelt, one of the things we think of is his famous statement to walk softly and carry a big stick.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of his famous quotes, famous ideas. The idea being that you want to, you know, not get up in everybody's business, but just want everybody to know that, hey, we got the big stick here. So a great nickname for him would be Nelson Cruz's nickname of Boomstick. That is the big stick that Teddy Roosevelt was carrying. And then lastly, obviously, was Barack Obama.
Mr. November.
The dude knows how to win elections.
Glad when we
did
could
this happen
on that.
In November?
Yeah.
Those are good. So make sure to tweet us your presidential nicknames.
But really, I guess it would have made more sense for Franklin Roosevelt to be Mr. November.
Because he won the most.
Won the most.
That's true. That's better.
Yeah.
Mr. November, FDR.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's move on here. But yeah, tweet any presidential nicknames or baseball nicknames for presidents. Either way you want to
whatever,
do it.
Whatever.
At us, at Cut4 with hashtag Cut4Cast. Let's move on quickly to our last topic here, which is that a bunch of old guys, Roger Clemens, J.D. Drew, Dan Ugla, who else is
Chipper,
playing?
Chipper
Jones.
Yeah.
All of these guys are getting together to play in a baseball tournament happening the end of this week, the beginning of next week.
Yeah. The National Baseball Congress
mm-hmm. Championship Tournament. And you can, if you go to MLB.com/cut4, you can see the full list of guys who are playing. I think John Lackey is playing. It's insane. It's just an insane list of people. And it got us wondering, first of all, why there isn't an MLB Seniors Tour. Who doesn't want to go watch just a team of retired baseball players?
I absolutely want to watch
that. Is the only thing I want to watch. Other than actual baseball. That's it. And if you counter program it so that you have baseball in the summer and the old baseball in the winter, then I just get 365 days of baseball I want to watch. Now, maybe the old people won't like playing in the cold, if my dad is any judge. But regardless, I want
only.
All of this.
You can only play in stadiums
domes.
With roofs.
Yeah. But the question ultimately came down to, if you were to construct a roster for this seniors tour, who would be the first three players that you picked, Gemma?
Barry Bonds.
Obviously.
Pedro Martinez.
Obviously. You
Hideki
took two
Matsui.
Of mine. Okay. Oh, Matsui.
Yeah.
Why Matsui?
He just hit a real home run in Yankee Stadium at
That's
the old-timers
true.
Game. That was like a legitimate home run. He's going to be awesome to watch on the old-timers tour.
Okay. I like it. Claire, what do you got? Who are your three?
So what kills me is that there was the Senior Professional Baseball Association that lasted only from 1989 to 1990.
What a shame.
So depressing. Doc Ellis was playing, and there weren't enough people going out to watch it. So I'm hoping that this movement can bring it back. Jim Rice and Doc Ellis were on the same team. Whatever. this is the league that will obviously bring it back. So we start in center field, Ken Griffey Jr.
That's, of course.
I mean, mm-hmm. you know. Pitching, we're bringing back Jamie Moyer, okay?
Oh, I like it. He'd still be good.
He was basically playing just a short while ago. He still got it. And then my final pick, there's so many to choose from, but I knew I needed a middle infielder that, you know, Jamie Moyer's not going to strike out that many guys. He's a junk baller. So we're bringing Ray Ordonez back.
Yes!
We're just going to watch this guy turn the most insane plays that a human being at any age, much less a retired player, should be able to do, and it will just elevate this game. I can't wait. If this would ever happen, my dreams would come true. I might try and, like, what's that word, like, when you can influence your dreams, lucid dreaming? I'm going to try and lucid dream.
Okay. Cool. Also, now that...
I thought you were going to say crowdfund this idea.
Well, he should. I mean, I think it's a good idea. I think Ray Ordonez is a really great pick, especially now that he has learned that he has the way
force.
Of the Force
yeah.
and that he's able to use a lightsaber and use the Jedi mind trick. I mean, shout out to you, Ray. So I also thought Barry Bonds would be the first obvious choice,
yes.
just because I think we all are curious to see what that would look like of him playing baseball nowadays.
I would wait in line for 5 days.
Yeah. I would do that, like the Comic-Con thing, how those people like
camp out.
Yeah, I would do that. I also was gonna say Pedro Martinez, but now for the sake of variety, I will say Randy Johnson. I would like to see him as our pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
I still think he could throw heat. I would like to see him try at the very least. And it would be fun to watch him pitch against Jamie Moyer in this in this tournament. And then my last choice, I want to see how well speed ages, and I want to see Ricky Henderson.
Oh, play. That would be great.
And
I
think that would be really fun too. And so those would be my three choices. Can this happen? All I want is an MLB Seniors Tour. That's the only thing I've ever. Now that I'm getting older, we were talking about this earlier about, you know, confronting our mortality with our favorite players being in the Hall of Fame. I just want to keep watching those guys play.
We should point out, however, to everyone that though we may all sound like we're, you know, 57 years old based on the way we have conversations.
We are
all the age of most current Major League Baseball players.
That's
just
true.
Just so everybody knows that.
Thanks, Gemma.
We're all the same age as you.
I still feel old, though, because you're a kid and all the players are older than you.
Yeah.
And now when you're an adult and they're all your age, you're like, well, I've accomplished nothing.
That's true.
This all got too real. let's move on here. It's time now for that moment that we all love when we sum up the podcast in 140 characters. Claire, since you got to drive to Sonoma and watch history in the making, we're making you go first.
Yeah, we're so very jealous.
Wait, that means I have to go first?
Yep.
What does that mean? I get to go last?
No. You already got all the treats.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. History is being... okay. History exists in Napa's Gemmy Valley. Is Gemmy a word? Yeah, Gemmy's a word. Gemmy Valley. Hashtag residents forever. Hashtag cut forecast. Really, really missed on this one. That was a big swing in there.
Okay, if I had no idea what this episode was about, based on that tweet alone, I would assume it was some sort of Field of Dreams thing where just a bunch of presidential ghosts were, like, coming out of Napa Valley.
Yeah, that's insane. Gemma, what do you got for us?
Two kinds of history on the hashtag cut forecast this week. The at Sonoma Stompers and Jose Altuve, the little magician, with just a picture of Martin Van Buren.
Okay, yeah. I like it. That's good. You didn't invent words there, which is a positive. Okay, mine would be hashtag history in the making. At the MLB Seniors Tour, watch Barry Bonds, Pedro Martinez, and Abby Wambach play, period.
Why is Abby there?
She's a retired female athlete, and we want to make history with our female player on the tour. I don't know.
All right.
I don't know. It wasn't very good, so don't retweet it.
You want to invite Jess Mendoza? Come on, man.
That's true. Jess Mendoza. Jess Mendoza can do it. That's a better choice. I didn't think of her. Jess Mendoza. There. Don't at me.
at him all day, every day.
If you have a better summary of the Cut4Cast, please tweet it at us at Cut4 with hashtag Cut4Cast. We will retweet the best ones. You can also like us on Facebook, facebook.com/Cut4. And you can read everything that we write day in and day out at MLB.com/cut4. Gemma, you write stuff there all the time.
I do. I do write stuff
there.
Claire,
you write stuff there nearly every day. It's essentially every day. Also, if you enjoy this podcast, please subscribe to it. And hey, while you're there on iTunes, subscribing to it or any of the other places, but notably iTunes, you can write us a review and leave a rating 1 to 5 stars. And if you actually take the time to write the review, we will read it on the Cut4Cast. And guess what? We have a review to read this week on the Cut4Cast. This one is from somebody named Bartolo Porzingis. So I'm going to go out on a limb and say that they are from the New York tri-state area.
And California.
Yeah. And here is their review. It's titled Meal, with 5 stars, as in meal or no meal. And here's the review. The 538 of bat flips, mascots, and ballpark food. The Cut4Cast takes me beyond the numbers. The qualitative authority on the great debate of whether a hot dog is a sandwich, whether Dakota was actually raised in North Carolina, who you should bring with you to attend a baseball game, and all other hot topics related to baseball, parentheses, and theater. 5 stars, hashtag, even though there are no hashtags in iTunes reviews, but nevertheless, this individual tried, hashtag, is this a baseball which I see before me? Hashtag pitchers who rake. So thank you, Bartolo Porzingis, for your excellent review and your Macbeth reference there. And if you have a review that you would like to write and have read on the Cut4Cast, please do that now. Gemma, thank you, as always, for joining me.
You are welcome.
And Claire, I know it was so hard getting you on the phone. You're such a busy guy. You are traveling to Sonoma to watch history in the progress, it made in progress. But thank you for taking the time to join us here on the Cut4Cast.
Thank you guys.
But mostly, thank you for listening, and we will talk to you next week.